Our scripture reading this evening is taken from two passages. One is Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21. And then second passage is much more familiar, Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 4, as we consider the fifth commandment, children, obey your parents. So Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 23. Obeying your parents, the negative side, I guess. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, for he who is hanged is accursed of God. And then reading from Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, namely this, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And then also in the Psalter hymnal, then in the back, in the Heidelberg Catechism, and page 52, and Lord's Day 39. So question and answer 104. So what is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. Dear people of God, the importance of our subject this evening is seen in its being placed first in the second part of the law. So you remember that God's law is divided into what we call two tables of the law, the first one having to do with our relationship to God, the second one having to do with our relationships with one another, within society. And it's noteworthy then, the first relationship commandments deal with on that level is the relationship of parents to children. And that is significant, and that's important, because it is the bed, the relationships of how we ought to relate to others on in a societal level. In other words, it's the basic building block. If we don't get this straight, we're not going to get anything straight. If we don't know how to act in a family situation as children, we're not going to know how to act in society at large. And our catechism also alludes to that when it talks about authority, that it is not only the authority of parents that it has in mind in this commandment, but rather it says that I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and then it says, and all those in authority over me. This relates. So that, as I said, if we don't know how to respect and set up in a family situation, then we're not going to understand how to respect authority on all the other levels in society. And so it's no surprise to us, society, and we look at the way families are and the fractures that occur in family life in these days, and how society really doesn't address that very well, and in so many ways encourages disruption in the family situation, that it's no surprise to us that society is falling apart as well. And they don't seem to see the connection, even though they lament the fact that the young people in society are not very productive in terms of respecting authority. Even though they can see that, they will not go back to the family. So sometimes they do say that, but they never help the family situation. You can't say anything to your children these days. And we give more rights to children, and parents so often find their hands tied in terms of raising their children in the way that the Lord commands us in His Word. And so we damage the family relationship, and we encourage disobedience, and then we lament the fact that society is so weak and society is so fragmented, and there's so many problems. Not only, of course, in terms of school, so we say, well, the schools can't do anything, but when they get out into society, our prisons are full, and juveniles, the great amount of juveniles that are in trouble, and we see it, but we don't accept the answer that the scriptures give. And as believers, we see that and say, we can understand that. When we reflect upon the wisdom of God, we can see it. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. Once our eyes are opened, we understand that this commandment is the most basic level that we have to begin. And Proverbs that we're looking at, of course, in the morning services, even though we won't get to the chapters that of verses that warn us against failure in this area of raising our children. For example, chapter 10 of Proverbs, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a grief of his mother. So talk about spoiling that family relationships. Or chapter 15 and verse 20. A wise son makes the father glad, but a foolish son despises his mother. I mean, what a terrible situation to be in, and what pain and suffering that brings. And again, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. I mean, what graphic language that is being used to describe the terrible situation that occurs when family is fractured, when children don't obey their parents. And it's a nightmare, and it's no joy for the parents to be in that. A man of great wealth, 19 verse 13, a foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are continual dripping. So all of those verses that speak about the wisdom of God are warnings to us that if this command is not obeyed, then it brings misery and pain and suffering into this relationship of the family. On the other hand, of course, Proverbs tells us that if we raise our children to follow wisdom by obeying their parents, then they are a blessing. I mean, there's nothing more wonderful than to have a family where the Lord is loved and children obey the scriptures and honor from the heart, honor their parents. And there's that wonderful unity in their relationships. There's nothing better. And that's a reflection of society. When our children learn those lessons at home, then our society is going to be a society where there is respect for authority and where peace and righteousness reigns. Those that set aside such injunctions think it's cool to be disobedient to parents. That it's cool to stand up for yourself against what they say and do what you want to do. But in the eyes of God and of the scriptures, it is foolishness. And so as a church, we turn our attention to this wisdom of God that commands us to be obedient to our parents and for our parents to be loving towards their children. So the first thing that ought to be impressed upon our minds when we turn to this, the fact that this is a command from God Himself. It's not a command brought together and come up with. I mean, that's what the world charges us with in certain occasions. So when we speak about the authority of the husband in the home, the husband being the head, is Christianity's way of suppressing women. It's as though we had come up with it. That we as men had conspired to find a way in which to subject women under our rule. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth. In the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, He created order in the marriage relationship. There was no conspiring. Adam didn't come up with it. God came up with it. And when God commands us and commands us to be obedient to our parents, it is His wisdom that is being reflected. It's not grown-ups uniting together against children. No. It's God looking out for our well-being. It's God wanting the best for us. And so it's incumbent upon us as children, and indeed as adults, of course, because as we've said earlier, obedience to our parents goes on into society, goes on into adulthood, because we have to be obedient. We have masters over us on many levels of society. So even though in the home we may be the head, when I get out of the home situation, when I go to work, I'm not the head anymore. Unless, of course, I own the company. I'm working for somebody else. I'm under their authority. When I walk outside of the house, I'm under the authority of local government, state government, and federal government. I have to obey what they say. I have to obey what the police say. So I have to learn to be obedient to the authorities that God has placed over me for my good and the good of society. And so we have to receive it then from God's word. And we note that this evening, because we understand that the commandment that we're looking at is one of the Ten Commandments. It obviously didn't come from people, because where? It came from Mount Sinai. It came from God revealing His law to Moses. Moses didn't write it down. We're told that God, as it were, with His finger wrote the Ten Commandments. And He wrote on those down with those tablets. This certainly wasn't a referendum among the Jews for Moses to say, well, what do you all think about this? Should we have this? Not at all. It came from heaven. It came from God Himself. And so we have it in Deuteronomy 5, of course. We have it also in Exodus 20. And we have it repeated in many, many passages, of which we have read this evening, one from Deuteronomy, of course, one from Ephesians chapter 6. And you might say, yeah, but you know, our parents are, you know, not always reasonable. Well, do you think when God gave this commandment, he was oblivious to the fact that they were sinners, but he was going to give these commandments to them? He knew what kind of people they were. He knew they were imperfect people, even as our catechism also reflects that. We have to be patient with them, with their failings. They're not going to be perfect parents. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to be unreasonable at times. Well, so is the government. So is the police. So are school teachers. So are your employers. They're going to be unreasonable at times as well. What are you going to do in those times? Lose your job? Go to jail? Because you will not obey them simply because in your mind they're being unreasonable? No, no. If we don't know how to react to somebody that is unreasonable, as the Bible also puts it in terms of our employers. Sometimes we have nice employers. Sometimes we don't have nice employers. The Bible doesn't say, be obedient to the good employers, but don't be disobedient to bad employers. No, it doesn't. We have to learn to be obedient to them as well in those times. And I might add, not that we're going to go into all of those ways this evening, but clearly the relationship that we have with our parents is a reflection of the relationship that we have with God. If we don't know how to obey our parents, then how are we ever going to obey God when we see them tangibly provide for all of our needs? We know that God provides for us, but we don't see that, and it's so easy to forget. But with parents, we see it day after day after day after day. If we can't obey them, when confronted with all of these blessings that they bestow upon us freely, then how are we going to obey God, of whose blessings we don't see? And we don't make that connection day by day. And what are we going to do when God's word commands us to do the things that we think are unreasonable? Obviously, he's not unreasonable, like our parents sometimes can. He's never unreasonable. But we might think that he's reasonable. And so when we think he's unreasonable, how are you going to respond? To say, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't think that's right. That's not in my well-being. I don't like doing that. I'm not going to do it. If we're used to doing that with our parents, that's exactly what we're going to do with the Lord. When we read stuff in the scriptures that we disagree with, we're going to stomp our feet and say, I'm not going to do it. Of disrespecting authority. And so we need to impress upon our hearts and minds that this commandment is coming to us from God himself, and he knows the best for us. And not only that, but it also comes with a warning. So this command, as we've read in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21, might have shocked you. I don't know. Maybe you have. This is how serious it is. So that here is a son that is stubborn. He's a glutton. He won't work. He's not productive. He's not obedient to his parents. And even though his parents have chastened him, even though his parents have been tried to impress upon him this truth of God's word, he's still disobedient. And so what do? They don't just kick him out of the house and say, that's it, forget about it, you're not going to... No, no, no. They understand their responsibility, that he's not only a danger to them, he's a danger to society. And so what do? They take him to the city gates and to the elders of his city, and they bring this charge against him, that he's a stubborn and rebellious son. And even though they've been loving towards him and try to guide him in the right way, he refuses. And when that is established, look what happens. Society doesn't say, well, what did you do wrong, parent? Maybe you were too harsh. Maybe you didn't raise him correctly. No, that's not what they say. They take up stones, and he is stoned to death. And you may be, as so often it is, we're shocked at the word of God at times. And the reason we're shocked is it hasn't impressed itself upon us the importance of what Scripture is saying and the danger that breaking that command poses to us and society. If there's a deadly disease and somebody catches it, we have no problem in saying, hey, those people ought to be quarantined. Because why? We're looking for the well-being of society. We're saying society has... Well, that's the way it is here. This is a deadly disease. Not checked, is going to infect everybody else as well and encourage that. And so here as a society, these rulers, civil rulers, get together and they stone him to death. And God doesn't say, oh, you're being unreasonable. No, no, no. This is God's command. God tells them to do that. Because God recognizes how deadly this is for society. And we as a society certainly can be witness to that. We can look at God's dealings here in Deuteronomy and say, yes, we agree. When these things are left unchecked, oh, what a terrible society we have. Because we live in that society. We see that close at hand. And we lament that fact. And so God's word treats it seriously. And so you need to treat it seriously. You need to understand how terrible this sin is and how destructive it is. Destructive for you and destructive for your family and indeed destructive to society. This is where it starts, in the family relationship. And so we have to take it serious. We have to take the warnings that God gives. And it doesn't matter what age we are. We shouldn't say, well, you know, when they're young, it's cute to sit. No, it's not cute at all. It's not cute at all. Whether they're 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever. As I say to parents, if you can't control them when they're 3 or 4, you can't control them when they're 13 and 14. It doesn't make sense. No, then they have more of this stubborn stuff. We have to begin early. We have to train them early to be obedient to their parents. That's the time that you have them in your control. That's the time that the avenues that God has provided for us. As it said, train up a child. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. But if you don't train up a child, the opposite is true too. You allow him to go his own way. And then when he's old, he's going to be entrenched in those ways. And he's going to continue even more forcefully than he did before. But God's warning should have a sobering effect upon us if we are those that treat these things lightly. God says that he is going to call us to account. And here's this graphic way that God portrays that in terms of this young man being put to death. That's how serious it is in God's eyes. And if it's serious in his eyes, it should be serious in ours too. But not only are we to understand that this is God's command and therefore to be taken seriously, we are also to obey our parents because they are our parents. They are our first leaders. As I said, it's awfully difficult for us. It runs against our depraved nature to be obedient to anyone, because after all, the seed of our sinful nature is the same as that the devil expressed, of course, which is, and tempted our first parents, which is to be God ourselves. That's the essence of sin. It's to rebel against God and replace him with ourselves, not somebody else. I mean, when we replace him with idols, we're really replacing him with ourselves, because the idols are nothing. They can't talk, speak, or move, or do anything. They are simply mouthpieces for us. So we're really setting ourselves up. And so that's the sin that is in us. And so there's a natural sinful inclination on our parts
to rebel against those that have authority over. But God chooses to turn it around. God chooses to teach us the sinfulness of that approach in such a gracious and loving way, so that he doesn't begin by putting us in a situation where our leaders are very cruel and wicked towards us, to teach us to be obedient. I mean, that would be a most difficult thing. I mean, it's awfully hard for those in countries where there are dictators, it's awfully hard for them to learn to be obedient. I mean, they do it out of fear. They don't do it out of love. It's awfully hard for them to trust governments because they are exploited. And we see how desperate they become when they risk their lives to get out of that bondage. But that's not the way God has started, begins to instruct us. He puts us in a situation where we have loving leaders, where we have leaders that give everything for us. They, in a sense, they give birth to us. They give life to us. Of course, we know life comes from God, but they are the avenues by which we receive life. We owe everything to them. And they provide for everything that we need day by day. Right from birth on, I mean, we can do nothing. We can't feed ourselves. We can't take care of ourselves. We can't dress ourselves. We can't wash ourselves. Nothing. We have to do all that dirty work for them day after day after day after day. And we lose sleep. We're all financial sacrifice in raising children and then their school. Everything. And then on top of that, we have all the problems of trying to discipline them in terms of being obedient. I mean, all those responsibilities. And for free. Absolutely free. So, if we can't love and obey them, who are we going to obey? If we can't obey those people that do everything for us, asking nothing in return, not keeping a ledger of everything that they've spent on you and one day saying, well, here's the bill, this is what you owe us. They keep no record. In fact, you are always indebted to them. So if we can't find it in our hearts to give them the respect that is due them and obey them, then I'm saying, what chance does anybody else have in this society? And that's why Isaiah puts it in the graphic terms that he does. I mean, basically saying you're worse than animals. Even animals are nice and friendly to their masters because their masters give them food and take care of them. They don't have a brain to logically reason all the things that they do for us as we as children are able to do. They don't have that ability. But they do understand that when they come to their masters, they receive food and shelter, and so they come to them without biting their hands. But as children, we don't seem to see. In fact, we treat our parents worse than anybody else. Strangers that do nothing for us, we give them more respect than we do our parents. There's no logic to that. It doesn't make sense at all. Just to think how much they care for us and the sacrifices that they make. As I say, if somebody else did that for us, we would be eternally beholden to them. If a friend of ours did that, provided us with a home, provided for us clothes, paid for all of our education, I mean, we would be beholden to that. We would say, oh, this is the greatest person on earth. How loving they are towards me. But our parents do it without you asking. But we don't show them the respect. So God is very kind and loving towards us, that he knows how difficult this lesson is for us to learn. And so he begins, as it were, by placing us in the most easiest place for us to learn obedience. From parents, as I say, that love us, provide for every need that we have, often sacrificing their own needs for their children. And they love us. They care for us. As I said, nobody knows what love is until they have children. I mean, you can teach the youth all about love in terms of talking to them, and you can express it in terms of the way that they see you as parents taking care of them and providing for them. But they never learn that lesson to the level when they have their children. Then that penny drops. Then they understand what unconditional love is. Then they understand what it is to sacrifice for somebody else without having an eye towards your own benefits. It's then they understand what they had at home, and perhaps when they did not appreciate it. But it's too late. Too late then to undo the damage that we have done and the heartache that we have caused our parents. No. We all need to think about those things in our minds and hearts and say, this is the arena in which God, in His wonderful way, is teaching me to respect authority, to show gratitude to those. And as I say, in the end, it relates to our relationship with Him. I mean, God has provided far more than our parents provide. After all, life comes from Him, even though our parents are the avenues by which we receive life, but it comes from Him. And this wonderful creation that He's provided comes from His hands. All that we need for life and godliness is provided for us day by day. We pay nothing back in return to Him. We enjoy it day after day after day after day. What our parents do pales into insignificance when compared with what God does for the whole wide world. And yet, what respect do we show to God? What appreciation do we show Him? No, the world acts like a spoiled child and is so blatant in their disrespect that many say, "What God? God doesn't exist. It's just us." And they take all the glory to themselves. And they raise their ideas and values and morals to the highest level, and they laugh and mock at the commandments that God gives. What a terrible, terrible indictment of humanity towards our God. And as I say, that is shown on an earthly level, in their a reaction to their parents, to their family situation. And so we are to look at our... And they love me so much that they're willing to discipline me, even though they know that I may get mad at them and go off in a huff and pose some more problems, yet they come and they change. They go through...